Hey, good morning, everyone. Hang on one second. Hey, Chris, can you also get my earbuds? Because it always sounds better with my buds in. We are going to have our Q&A day on Hunger Scale and On the Clock Challenge. Guys, I am a little discombobulated, not for any reason other than I just got done with my run. This is why I look so amazing. This is also Logan's birthday. So when I get done with here, I will officially brush my teeth, put on all the moisturizer on my face, and it is casual day at the Crabtree House on Logan's birthday because he, as he says, is a casual boy. And so let me just tell you a funny story. So I literally got off the treadmill 10 minutes ago. I jumped in the shower because I was like, okay, I would like to, like, if I don't jump in the shower, I am likely to put on clothes and then sit in my stench all day long, and that's a little more casual than I wanted. And the temperature's dropping here. So it started off at 62, and it's already, I think, 50 degrees. It's raining, all the things. And so I thought, oh, well, I want to wear, like, you know, warm clothes. So this is the outfit that I pick. You just have to see it to believe it. So I have, like, my Under Armour sweatpants and stuff on. And I walked into Chris's office, and I said, well, wish me luck. It's time for me to go do my happy birthday Q&A something something day. And he said, he looked at me and he said, did you dress yourself this morning? I was like, you boy. So anyway, it was just funny. We were just both laughing about how I picked an amazing outfit for everyone. So all right, so today's the Q&A day on the Clock Challenge, and let's talk. I have like a couple things I want to talk about. Hey, babe. Chris, can you get me an extend and my earbuds? There's earbuds downstairs. There's a couple things I want to talk about. I actually was running this morning, and this is going to go out to Elizabeth, who got coached at the end of the day yesterday. I think she was my last caller, if I'm not mistaken. And whoever my coach is on this call, if you will make sure that I would like to edit this part out and add it to that, because I think we segmented her call out in particular because it was so good. So let me tell you guys what she was talking about yesterday. She was she's got like over 100 pounds to lose, and she went, I think, to like a high school reunion. But essentially what happened is she has friends on the other side of the country that she hasn't seen in a long time. And she was just talking about how when she sees them and stuff, she can tell by the look on their face that they know that she's gained weight. And then they will be nice and they will say they're going to get together and they're going to talk on Facebook and do all these things. And then they don't. And she makes it mean something about her weight. And she said that she had lots of compelling reasons, but she was worried because one of her compelling reasons was essentially she wants to do an FU to them, like a revenge and all this other stuff. And so we coached on being worthy, and that revenge just doesn't fuel. I don't think I still have the, well, we did a model where it ended up being the feeling line was needy. And like when she thinks I want mutual respect, she feels needy. And when that happens, she creates stories about, I've got the model right here. She creates stories about her weight and that they must be thinking about it. She seeks revenge and, you know, all these things. And the result ends up being she's just not respecting herself through the process. She's more worried about their opinions than she is leveling up her own opinion of herself. She's agreeing, like, we don't even know if that's their opinion. But I just told her, I said, let's just assume it is. So what? It's their opinion. And if they don't want to be friends with you, okay. If, you know, let's think about it. If people don't want to be friends with you because of your weight, like, do we want to prove to them now I'm worth being friends with? Or do we want to be like, you know what? Like, I'm, like, they're going to miss out on the best part of me. So that was what I wanted to talk about, was one of the things that I thought about while I was on the treadmill. I was thinking about this call, and I was thinking, you know, the thing that I think that we forget when we're doing our compelling reasons and when we're thinking about what other people think about us and stuff is, you know, one of the reasons that we do this is so that we get to find ourselves. We get to start, you know, the weight loss doesn't make us a better person, but when we stop eating because we don't like our life and we work on our life, that gives us a better life. It's not because we are losing weight. And, you know, weight loss ends up being a byproduct of when you work on yourself. And that's one of the things, hang on, we've got lighting guys in here. Okay. That's one of the things that I really want to focus in on with you guys is that what I want you guys to, like, take heart is you already are very worthy. And when you decide, like, that moment that you decide you're worth the work, and that you're doing this for yourself and you're not doing it for other people. If you're doing it for other people, like, let's say, I want to be an example for my kids and stuff, that comes from love. But to prove something to other people, to hopefully get their respect, to earn their stuff, I would rather you say, like, you know what? The problem is I need to earn my own respect by doing the things I say I will do, by challenging myself, by not quitting on myself anymore, by learning how to, like, a lot of you are coming up on the end of the no BS, and there's going to be a significant portion of you that have not finished the program, and you're going to immediately go into, it didn't go, it went wrong. It didn't go the way I wanted. Rather than thinking, I'm at a place where I just need to push play again. That's it. Like, we don't have to judge. We don't have to tear ourselves down. We don't have to do all that stuff anymore. So when I was thinking about Elizabeth, one of the things I wanted to, like, add on to her call was, not only are you worth it now, but what you get to do is you get to do this for yourself, and they are going to miss out on the growth that you go through. They are going to miss out on you loving yourself. They are going to miss out on you redefining the relationship with yourself. They're going to miss out on an amazing part of your lifelong journey. You know, like, I think that Chris is probably very grateful that I had a weight problem. I think that probably some of the best times in our marriage has been throughout the process of me losing the weight. He didn't love me more because I got thin. If I don't know if he loves me more, but he found more reasons to love me because of who I became through the process. When I started loving myself, when I started taking pride in myself, when I started making decisions for me, when I started working on how I thought about my body and stuff, he benefited from all of that. And it was never because of what I ended up weighing. And that was, I think, what I wanted to add on to the end of her call that that I just kind of, like, was thinking about while I was running this morning. It's just how important it is that we remember that we get to do this just because we want to. We don't have to feel bad about ourselves. I'm not saying that you don't feel bad about yourself sometimes, but I just want you to be aware of it and not beat yourself up for feeling bad about yourself. But also know that if you can feel bad about yourself, it means you also can feel good about making some decisions, about putting in a little work that you're not used to, changing some little things, creating some ease with all this weight loss. Okay, now, for all of you who are wrapping up No BS, and this is where some of you are. We've got some of you who finished No BS, and you've already been, like, just listening to all the calls and doing all the things and whatnot. Y'all just keep rocking and rolling, handling the holidays. Starts now. I believe Sadie is getting the brand new version of Handling the Holidays loaded up in the private podcast. In fact, she's waiting on me because I had to reinstall the software yesterday. It was acting wonky and it needed an update. So as soon as the software reboots and everything, we will have it up into the private member podcast. Then for those of you who are still going through it, you just keep working through it. You can either join us in Handling the Holidays and do both at the same time. If you have the time, if you don't, just stay doing your No BS lessons. The beautiful thing is they're not going anywhere. So some of you have, like, slowed it down on purpose because you want to spend extra time in each one of the lessons. I highly recommend that. I think that now is a good time too to go back through and listen to some of the things that, like, maybe didn't make sense the first time. Or if you're noticing, like, now that I've gone through No BS, here are the areas where I'm still, like, trying to figure things out. Go back, listen to those lessons. I'd get your workbook out and I would redo those worksheets it will be very different the second time through for you. Lots of things will make more sense because you have the whole picture now. And then for those of you who kind of like, you got started, but then you kind of put it on the shelf and you're judging yourself and you're thinking, oh my gosh, it didn't go the way I thought. And, you know, I'm just a failure. And you're doing your, you know, normal titty baby dance. Let's just stop that part and just remember nothing went wrong. The only thing that's happened is the No BS is sitting in PNPTribe.com waiting for you to push play on it. That's it. The version of you that joined was going to push play. The version of you today can still push play. It is not that hard. It is a fingertip. It is this. And then you just listen. Okay? The other thing that I want to tell everyone that's exciting is that we are going to be redoing No BS. But what I don't want anybody freaking out, like if you haven't done it yet, don't say, well, I'll wait till January. Do this version. Every version is special and unique on its own. When we redo it, it's not going to be new concepts. It's still going to be the four bases. It's still all the things that I teach. I'm just structuring it different and I teach it different. I have more success stories from the tribe to include to give people like some insight into how other people do things. We just have a few things like that that we're going to be moving around and adding, and just it just gets better every time we do it. But don't sit there and think, oh, well, she's going to come out with all this new stuff. Why learn this now? Learn this version. There's fuck tons of weight been lost off this 18-month-old version. Don't ignore what's working because I might record some stuff. But we are going to just, like, we've just learned a lot about, like, how you guys structure and organize and all this other stuff, and we're just going to do some of that. So everybody will be very excited in January because it will be like getting the world's best Christmas present. Okay. Let's see. Let me go to questions. Is the Handling the Holidays workbook the same one I printed last week? It should be. I updated that book months ago, so it should be the same one. And somebody asked, will they have access to the new No BS? Oh, yeah. So anything that I do inside of the tribe, guys, you all always will get access as long as you're a tribe member. You just have to stay a tribe member. That's it. Now, if you leave the tribe, everything stays here in pnptribe.com. But if you, if you're here and I release a course, I release a bonus, I re-record things, I update things, you get all of it. I'm not going to hold back from the tribe members things that are going to help you lose weight. Let's put it that way. I am noticing that I can wait for hunger longer when I'm working from home than when I work in the office. I don't worry as much about getting it in. I'm seeing patients 100% virtually when at home versus part in office and part virtual in the office. I'm not sure what to do with that information because it's something I've noticed for a while. Here's what I would do. I would ask myself, what is the difference other than seeing patients? What is the thought difference? It may just be when you're bored, you eat. Like if you don't have as much to do, you're filling time with food. A lot of people do that. They just think, oh, okay, maybe I'm just hungry. So that might be what's happening there. One of the things that I hope that you guys noticed on the on-the-clock challenge week is some of the key takeaways that I've seen in the past is that people will go on the clock. So if you don't know what that is, it is where the moment you start getting your hunger signal at your negative two, you look at your watch, you time yourself to eat, you reevaluate in an hour, and you drink 16 ounces of water, 12 to 16 ounces of water. And so you drink the water. One, what that does is it's like, oh, maybe I was just thirsty. It's a really good trick to get a lot of people to make sure that they're not just thirsty when they're getting hunger signals. Because if you are dehydrated, your body will require food trying to get the water out of the food. That is just the way it works. The other thing that they notice is that a lot of times they've never really... on the clock really teaches us, all right, so hunger ebbs and flows. It doesn't just like negative two, negative three, negative four, negative five, negative six. It doesn't just drop. You may get to a negative two and start feeling slight hunger, and then you have to wait. Like you wait your hour, or maybe you're at the doctor's office or something, and then suddenly you're not hungry. your body, what it's doing is it starts tapping into its own internal fat stores where the calories reside. So it starts utilizing those calories for you. And then once it's getting calories, if it's from your own fat stores, a lot of times what it'll do is it will suppress your hunger signals. So you won't be requesting food anymore of your brain. So that is what a lot of people notice is like, oh, so when I hit a negative two, that doesn't mean that I'm on the express train to hangry. No. A lot of you don't even realize that you can hang at a negative one or negative two for hours. And it just be like slight and not much. And until you actually do the on the clock challenge, it's like, oh, okay. So you mean I could be like tapping into my own internal calories for a while and then eat. The biggest problem with overcoming hunger is not the actual physical, like it sucks. It's the thoughts, it sucks. Once you get to where you can manage your mind around hunger, guys, and you no longer think you can get too hungry, you no longer think it's like going to be really hard and miserable, what most of us do is if we really just, this is a pro tip. This is what I do a lot. When I get hungry, like in this moment, I am hungry, okay? So I've done my run. I've been up since 5. I've done all the things. Like I am hungry right now. And when I like listen like to my body, I can feel it. Like I'm starting to get a pit in my stomach. When I listen to my brain, I want to hear, like, I just want to notice, like, what am I thinking about my hunger? Rather than, oh my God, this is what I think about hunger and judging it or panicking about my hunger thoughts or thinking that they're just true. Like, there's a level what's called watching your thoughts. And so what I advise you guys to do is, like, when you start to get hungry, I want you to be like, I really want to hear what I think about. I don't want to decide it's true. I don't want to decide it's bad. I don't even want to give it credit like, oh, this is a good thought to have. I'd like to just know what I think. And when you drop that level of trying to judge it and trying to make decisions on it, you're allowed to understand your relationship with hunger. So like for me right now, like the thoughts that are coming through in my brain is like, it won't be that much longer before we get to eat. I think one of the thoughts I have is, I need to like let the lighting guy in before I eat, you know, like for me, because it's not an emergency right now. It's like, it's just starting to get hungry. Like there's no thoughts that are like driving me to this is bad. Whereas a lot of you, you start to get hungry and your immediate thought is I can't get too hungry or I'll overeat. And I want you to just be aware of that. So that's what's really important is when you start getting hungry, I want you guys to start listening more to what you think about and then decide, are the sentences that go through my brain, are they going to help me long term? Or are these the sentences that make it hard for me to actually be hungry? Because hunger in itself is not that bad. It's always what we think about it. I have been like so hungry before, like really, really hungry. In my adult life, but then like at Logan's school play or, you know, like been somewhere with Logan and not be able to eat and be like a legit negative five and not be like dying internally with my brain. Like I can calm myself down and just be like, but we're here right now. There'll be something to eat when we get home. You know, that's how we know that a lot of times hunger can just be either a shit show because we gin it up in our brains, or it can just be like, let me start listening because here I want to create a good relationship with slight hunger. When you guys start working on that, you'll see your weight loss really start getting easier for you. What's in my water? Extend, X-T-E-N-D. Betsy, will you link them to the new store, which is on pnptribe.com? I forget the name of it. It's a brand new one. We had to create a new one. The old kit store went down, guys. They just suddenly closed it. So I had to, let me see. It's called, if you go to PNP, 411.com/FAVES faves. I don't know if I actually have Extend in there yet. It's not in there yet, but you can go to, it's not in there yet, but that's where like planners and books and stuff are. But you can go to Amazon and you can get it. And this is the grape flavor. I love it. It's just branched chain amino acids though. I've been drinking it for years. The reason why I drink it is it's a carryover from my old bodybuilding days. Corinne likes to keep all the muscle she can. So I drink branched chain amino acids. And what we do is we make bottles of this. Well, let's all be honest. Aunt JJ makes bottles of this for us. And there is a half a scoop per tall bottle of Avion. And we drink Avion because my husband, it's the only water he'll drink. He's a complete water snob. And rather than buying all kinds of different waters for everybody, I finally just caved and we went with Avion. I know it's not cheap, but the king don't ask for much. And this is his thing. I've noticed boredom eating has been a big problem going on the clock. Can you suggest some level up thoughts to help to redirect my brain from eating? Yeah, like you just need to understand what is that, like I'm feeling bored because I'm thinking what? What am I think? Like I get hungry and I'm like bored and I start thinking what? I want you to like put the thoughts are on the action line. You're not actually eating from boredom. You start thinking about eating. Like a snack would be good. You can just tell yourself, I can be bored and not eat. I would rather be bored and lose weight than to be bored with my ability to lose weight. My Thanksgiving dinner is becoming a huge shit show. That's a thought, Janine. There's things happening and you're defining it as a shit show. I'm so disappointed in my family and my adult children. Things have never been like this. I just want to run away and let them figure it out. Okay, well, why not just let them figure it out? Why do you feel like you have to be involved? If you're defining it as a shit show, then say, like, y'all figure it out. I'm not going to be disappointed, though. If I'm going to let you figure it out, I'm not going to be disappointed in your choices. How do I encourage myself to just love them when they are acting like toddlers? Well, you have to quit saying they're acting like toddlers. Why are you judging them so hard? Like, this is, like, let's just work on Janine right now. Janine thinks her children are toddlers. Janine thinks they should behave a certain way. Janine has a lot of expectations of how everything should go. Everyone's disappointing her. Like, you need to, like, figure out your thoughts about all of that. Is it fair of you to be doing all that? Are you treating them fairly right now? You're already running away. You're running away into the land of judgment. You can put some more comments in here if you want. Like, you can tell me exactly what's going on, like that you think, and I can help you with it if you want. I can point out a thought that's not serving you. But one of the things is that Thanksgiving's going to happen. You need to figure out what you want them to be. Why do you want, like I want to run away and let them figure it out. I'm not sure what they're doing, but you're disappointed in them. Usually what's going on in this scenario is people are wanting to do what they want to do. Then you get pissed. You're disappointed in them or whatever. They want to go see other family or whatever. And it's like, no, here's what I want. I want everybody to do what makes me happy. And then we'll all be happy, won't we? No. You have the same expectation. They just want you to be understanding usually. Loving someone is always a choice. The only thing that makes it hard to love someone is how we sit and think about them. Okay, so my brain tells me, but you might pass out if you get too hungry, for real. What can I think instead? This is what I'm just going to advise you guys. See if you actually pass out. It's bullshit. Everybody hit the like button right now if you've passed out due to hunger, waiting for the next meal. Now, if you had to go 3 days without eating, I would say, like, of course. But look, said no one ever. And if you hit the like button because you've passed out, please tell me what happened. It's probably an extreme scenario, but we're talking about slight hunger. Slight hunger. This is not a pass out situation. And that's what you have to tell yourself. It's just like the lady yesterday who was on the coaching call who was saying, like, well, here's my problem. Like, I keep reading medical evidence that only 95% of the people in the world keep, they all gain their weight back. So I don't know why bother. And I was like, I don't know, be part of the 5%? Why are you deciding to be part of the 95% who fail? That they all made a decision to fail. Somebody said they got super shaky and sweated one time or sometime. That's okay. Don't wait for that long then. That's what you learned. Don't wait that long. That's it. Guys, I promise, like, we just don't have anybody in here going like, oh my gosh, here's all the times I passed out because I, like, got a little hungry. Your body was, here's the thing that I want you to hear, Sylvia. Your body was designed to get hungry. Period. It was always designed to get hungry. That is the natural way the body's made. So if you're sitting there thinking you're going to pass out when you get natural hunger, you need to be like, that is such bullshit. Seriously. And just see if it happens. It's not going to happen. But I guarantee you, the second you start getting hungry, all right, time to eat. All right. This is back to our children's from Janine. They are upset with my husband and myself, but they won't tell us why. Okay, you don't need to know why. Like most of the time, I don't even let y'all tell me why you're upset, right? Because your backstory doesn't mean anything. Your children's backstory, why they're upset, doesn't mean anything to you. They're upset. Your thought could just be, and they get to be. They just told me there will be new boundaries to our relationship. No explanation. I don't even know what they are upset about. I'm pretty angry at some of my adult children and their words and actions. Anger just makes me want to eat practically everything. Any suggestions? Quit being angry and just be like, my children have decided to set boundaries with me and they don't want to give me any reasons why. Okay, that's exactly what I teach all of you when it comes to boundaries. That we set boundaries and we do them internally. And if we do them externally, we just say, like, here's what's going to happen. And we're done. So they're following the boundaries rules. So now your thought can just be like, okay, here's their boundaries. I'm moving on with my life. They will figure it out. They'll probably, if I honor their boundaries, they'll probably figure it out faster. I'll probably surprise the fuck out of them. Rather than you being angry, why don't you just be like, I'm going to surprise the fuck out of them by following their boundaries and do my life and just love them. Rather than being angry at them and then wondering why they want to set boundaries. I'm not saying you did anything wrong, but like your model is like, well, I just get angry that they don't tell me stuff and all this other junk. And then I don't know what you say or do. But then I wonder why they feel like they need to set boundaries and why they don't want to tell me things that might make me angry. I think that what happens a lot of times in these kinds of situations, we have to like decide there's no right or wrong in this situation. They're not right or wrong. You're not right or wrong. But everybody is trying to get everyone else to say or do or behave in a way that makes us feel better. Rather than, why doesn't Janine just work on Janine and set some boundaries with herself that she doesn't eat because her kids are working through their shit? It's like they're acting like toddlers. Janine acts like a toddler every time she eats because her children tell her things that she doesn't like. It's like throwing a fit on the floor and wondering why people get mad at us. And you end up getting mad at yourself. Right? So it's like, just, this would be great, Janine, to take to ask coaches, to be like, I am not going to eat over this, and here's why. And if I am eating over it, it's because I keep telling myself this stuff about my children. The circumstance is, kids said they have set boundaries, and they didn't tell us why. And your thought can just be, and it's none of my business, but I can respect their boundaries all day long. Like, if somebody, like, if you think they're acting like kids, then you step up and be the adult. You are the adult. You're the parent. It's like, okay. Then here's how I'm going to be an adult. I'm not going to judge you for it. I'm not going to have expectations for you. I'm not going to have manuals for you. I'm going to love you. That's what an adult parent does. I'm going to love myself through it. I will not self-loathe and eat over it. And I refuse to be angry, because it just makes me show up in a way for myself and for my kids that makes them want to set more boundaries. What's on your travel protocol? I'm getting better at 2 to 2 when traveling. Like, my travel protocol is this weekend. So I'm going on it's a 2-day trip to work on the 6-day training for the girls that are all signed up for the January training. And we are going to, we know that we are going to be eating near a True Food. So I'll probably go there. So what I always do on my travel protocol is, it's always like, I'm going to like eat when I'm hungry. I'm not a snacker when I travel. I really like, I would have to have a flight canceled and be dying before I would snack. Like, I just like use that as a protocol for me, because what it does is it keeps me from eating, because I love me some protein bars. Like, I love me some junk snacks that are dressed up hoes as a healthy snack. And I can quickly use traveling as an excuse to eat shit that I would not even eat at home. So usually when I go, when I travel, I do, like, breakfast is always pretty easy. You can get eggs and toast and fruit and bacon anywhere, just about. Like, you know, just things like that. I just always think about stuff like that. I just always make sure that if I'm going to do room service and stuff, I a lot of times will eat like chips and guac. I don't think, to me, that's not an off protocol type food. It's like, I really love guacamole. One, it tastes amazing. Let's just all agree. But it's got avocado and healthy fat. It keeps me full. You know, it just like lasts a long time. So a lot of times if room service has like chips and guac, I'll just get that, and that can be dinner for me. A lot of times they'll have like fruit plates or fruit cups. I order a lot of fruit stuff. If we go out to eat, I usually keep everything limited to, my eyes are itching. I like to do like any kind of chicken, any kind of steak, like any kind of protein, essentially. I usually will do a baked potato or a healthy grain, or if they've got side vegetables, any kind of salads roll. I just do stuff like that. I'm not one to eat desserts when I go out. I'm not one to eat a lot of appetizer stuff. The only time I will do appetizers is, I have a couple appetizers that I love, which is raw oysters. I'm just going to tell you guys, I'm a huge fan of the raw oysters. And the other appetizer that I love is Brussels sprouts with bacon. So like one of the places that we're going to for the planning session, I know that there's a restaurant, there's actually two restaurants that have bacon and Brussels sprouts. So a lot of times, like if we're going to do a little appetizer, if we're like, we hadn't eaten in a while, then I'll share that with someone, or I'll just order that as my entree. And then I will ask them, can I just get like a side of, like if they put, like if they're willing to put chicken on a steak, I mean a salad or something like that, they'll sell you the chicken on the side and you can put it on your Brussels sprouts too. So a lot of times I do that. But I just do stuff like that, and I make sure I drink a lot of water while I travel. I just don't overthink it too much. I just always like to outline, like, if I know, like, the city I'm going to, like, if I kind of know the area, like, I'll try to suggest that we go to certain restaurants that I've ate at before that has really tasty, good food that I know makes me feel good and healthy. If I don't know anything at all, I just kind of outline stuff like that, and it helps. Journaling hasn't been a strong suit, but I know I can write. I'm a college student, but when I sit down to do it, all the negative thoughts come and don't want to face what I write about me. What are some tips to help me clean it up? I would want to see them. Here's the thing. They're in your head. Why would you not want to see them on the paper? On the paper, you can do something about them. When they're running in your head, you know what happens when the thoughts are just in your head? They're coming out in your food. They're coming out in your behaviors. And they're coming out in your action line. I'd rather the thoughts come out on paper so I can look at them and then start being like, oh, okay, I'm going to pick this one and I'm going to work on it this week. Like, I'm not going to work on the rest of them. I'm going to work on this one this week. And then just each day, just write about that one thought and like how you would like to think and, you know, why you think you might think that and stuff like that. Like, do it from a place of like, I'm just going to work on this one. But what happens is a lot of times it's like, we just like, oh my God, my thoughts are so ugly. It's like, no, they're just shit that's going on in your head. That's it. They're not ugly. They're not terrible. They're just in your head. But when they're left unchecked in your head, the only option they have is to come out in your action line as part of your unconscious behaviors. We want to get them very conscious. Because if you don't like the results you're getting in your life and stuff, you for sure don't want them just running around unchecked in your head. Can you give me some tips for dialing into my negative two? I'm pretty good at my plus two, but don't notice I'm hungry until my stomach starts growling. Why don't you just use your stomach starting growling as your negative two? I think that would be fine. Some people, that's their negative two. I tallied my sleep for the month. 10 days out of 31 were 7+ hours of sleep, normally 3 to 6 a night. Aside from traveling 2 weeks a month for work, I also have insomnia. Sleep is one of my biggest issues. Caitlin, if you're not already taking Sleep Remedy, which is what I take, I would highly recommend it. It's really helped me. I don't not take it ever. I take it every night. I travel with it. It just really helps me. So you can, I don't think I have it in my store yet. I need to update that store is what I need to be doing. No, I don't have it in my store yet. I'll have to get in there. But you can, Sleep Remedy is really good. It's made by Doc Parsley. The other thing would be like making sure that you do not have your phone with you or on at least 2 hours before you go to bed. I know that sounds crazy, but it really makes a difference. It really makes a difference. So I hit the candy bowl before my planner wrote out. Do I just put on plan or consider it off plan? If it wasn't on the plan and you hadn't planned yet, it's off plan. Here's the thing. I want you to think about would I have planned for the candy bowl? If you weren't going to plan for it, then I would for sure do a recovery worksheet. If you were going to put candy on it anyway, then I wouldn't worry about doing a recovery worksheet. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I would tell you, Caitlin. A lot of sleep is just like good sleep hygiene. There's a really good book called Sleep Smarter. At this point, Betsy, we have got to make a list of all the things that I need to stick in this thing because I don't have half the stuff I normally recommend in there. But yeah, we need to get some of that in there. But that's a really good book on sleep. You might also want to get that one and just listen to it. It's by Sean Stevenson. He's really good on sleep. Will you please repeat or post what you just said about thoughts? Oh, just basically Robin, won't you just like rewind the Facebook Live? It's going to be in this group as soon as I finish. You can go back and listen to it. It's going to be at about, what time did I start this? It's going to be like in 35 minutes through, but it's just essentially like your thoughts, guys, when they're on paper, what's happened is your brain now gets to see them and it gets to observe them and it gets to like manipulate them and decide. What most of you are doing is you're manipulating them with judgment first. It's like, oh, this is so bad. I can't believe I think stuff like this. How am I ever going to lose weight? Blah, blah, blah. All of that we set aside. It's just not needed at all. That's the part that makes you not want to actually go to the second stage, which is, so first stage is setting aside a judgment or wallowing in it and never moving on to phase two. So the second stage, phase two, is I have all my thoughts here and now I'm going to just pull one. I'm going to just pick one, doesn't matter which one. And I'm going to work on it this week. And I'm going to like look at it and be like, you know, do I want to, you know, is this a thought that I would want to keep thinking? Why do I think it even got started to begin with? Without blame. Like, a lot of the things that I've noticed is I've been, like, really figuring out, like, oh, it's no wonder I think that. Because when I was a kid, this is how it got started. So that explains why I would be thinking it. Because a lot of us think we think things because we're broken, a dumbass, not ever going to lose weight. Like, we have these judgments on it. And a lot of times I like to just be, like, really casual. Like, it is not needed. It's just, like, one thing that could help. It's just be like, I wonder why I would even be thinking that to begin with. I wonder how it even started. It made me curious about how it started, and then not using that as a blame thing. And then you just, like, then you also look at it from the place, well, if I wanted to think, like, something else, is this thought even true? Could there be something else that's true? If I was going to think something else, what would it be? Like, just kind of playing with it in that realm. And then the third phase is every single day to kind of relook at the thought and talk about, like, what you might want to think differently, what life could be like if you, like, let go of the old thought and started thinking this. That's kind of like that three-phase process. But the problem is most of you spend so much time judging your thoughts and worrying about your thoughts and thinking they're bad and all this other stuff that you don't want to write them down to begin with to move on to the phases where we're just working on them. And so you leave them in your brain. Brain thoughts left inside your brain unchecked are just running around, and they come out on your action line, and they come out on your results line of your model. So if you're showing up in this world in a way that you don't like and doing things that you wish you weren't and getting results that you wish were different, then you know you have unchecked thoughts. That's why we want to check them. Does the sleep remedy help you help keep you asleep? Yeah. I've had my largest weight gain for October, but before doing my assessments, my thoughts were neutral and good. I have the tools, skills, and knowledge to lose the weight gain. But once I looked at the actual data, my brain wants to go into beatdown mode. You've really blown it. It's going to take forever to lose that weight again. Any redirect questions? Yeah, I just tell myself, of course I would think those things. But it's just time to get to work. Like, seriously, guys, like, of course I'd think stuff like that, but it's just time to get to work. It's normal to be disappointed in myself, and it's just time to start. Like, I don't want you guys sitting around trying to figure out how to feel better about weight gain. I don't want you guys, that's a waste of time. You don't need to be proud, happy, good, excited, motivated, or any of that stuff. You know what you need to do? You need to be like, of course I would think stuff like that. That's okay. I don't need to, like, keep spending energy and effort there. And I also don't need to spend energy and effort trying to, like, highly motivate myself. I can just make a 24-hour plan. The best way to, it's going to take forever to lose that weight again. The best way for that not to come true is probably just make a 24-hour plan and quit thinking about what all I need to be doing and how long it's going to take. Action solves a lot of problems, y'all. A lot. My best friend is coming into town, and we have historically always overeaten together. Always, for decades. It doesn't matter how long it's gone. You know what I want to care about? I don't give a shit how many times y'all overate. I want to know, are you going to do it this time? And that's going to be your choice, Michelle. Can you let her overeat and you not? Is the question. I'm in good control of my plans, but I'm worried she's going to be angry. She probably is. So what? Like, what if you're just like, I could be, like, I'm okay with her being angry. This is different for her. Like, love her angry ass. Don't sit there and be like, oh my God, I need her to be, like, so happy that I have finally gained control over my food. That's a ridiculous ask. What if we just be like, I am going to let my best friend feel any way she wants. Because if she was losing a lot of weight and she was in control of her food and I hadn't been working on it, I know I would not feel amazing about it. But her deciding to overeat doesn't help me figure out how to change my life. You caving and eating with her just so you don't have to feel bad that she feels bad doesn't help anyone. Like, guys, let her be however she's going to be. The only reason why you're nervous is because if she's angry, you're going to feel upset. What if you just decide it would be so normal for her to not love this? And you know what? I can be with her. I can just stop eating. I don't have to talk about things. Like if she says, like, why aren't you still eating? You can just be like, I think I just had enough. And if she gets pissed, just be okay with her getting pissed and be compassionate, not nervous, not upset that she's upset, thinking I'm doing this to her. You're not doing anything to her. You know what you're doing? You're showing that you can love her while she's upset about what you put in your mouth. It may be for her something she needs to see in this life, that she can be loved regardless of what she eats, whether she's overeating or eating just enough. You get to give her that gift if you want to, or you get to be like so worried about your own feelings that she might get angry and you might get upset that you end up overeating and upset yourself and never show her there's another option to this friendship. That the only thing that matters in this friendship is we eat. It's not about you, honey. It's about what we put in our mouth. And I just need to feel really good. What kind of visualization do we do you as we move into party months? Oh, I swear to God, I was reading this and it was like I had read potty mouths and like all kinds of stuff. What kinds of visualization can we do as we move into the party months? I travel for work and I'm a social person, and visualization along with planning has really been helping me. So just wondering how the queen does it to see if I can level up my game. I do it like, honestly, like even today I was running and I was doing some visualization of the next camp, the April camp, because we're, guys, we are constantly leveling up. And I was already visualizing myself like standing on stage and like teaching and people, like I was like seeing people's faces and seeing light bulbs going off, that kind of thing. When it comes to this, I do the same kind of stuff. So like, we have Thanksgiving at my house this year. We're going to do Thanksgiving and Christmas since my mom's coming to town, and I'm already visualizing myself like enjoying myself, like laughing with people and not having food in my mouth. Like it's a lot of visualization of me enjoying myself and loving the moment and seeing faces and sitting around and stuff, and the food not being part of the what I'm visualizing as the fun part. And I think that's one of the key things, is like for a lot of us, we have such a tie that the food is the fun part or the food is the important thing, that it's like our brains need to see that being with people is more important and seeing ourselves enjoying a moment where like you just don't see the food or the alcohol. And it allows your brain to think, oh yeah, we've done that before. That's kind of how I like to do it. I have been the same weight since July 31st. I followed my plan 87% of the time. The other basics I do 100%. What can I do? Figure out what that 13% looks like. What's going on in the third? Seriously, it's the 13%. I would rather be like, rather than saying like, I follow it 87% of the time, I want to know like 13, here's what's happening in my 13%. Here are the things I'm overeating and here are the things I'm doing. And then once you work on that 13%, like really dive into the detail of that and just be really like, I want to figure this out. And don't be judgmental over it. And this, when I say judgmental, I don't, you know, a lot of times we think when we're judging, we're like, we're a beat down shit show. Sometimes what we do is we're like, but it's only 13%. This shouldn't matter. Listen for anything that's going on there, because anything that's like a, this shouldn't matter, whatever, you know, is a lie because your weight's not changing. So do the 13% first. Then go back overall and look at it from a higher level and see if there's anything that you're judging as like, this should be okay or whatever. And just pull it apart a little bit to see if there's anything that you can like say, maybe it does matter. Maybe this is a spot that I could tweak even a little bit to see what happens. Okay, guys, I think that's it. Today is, well, y'all know it's Baby Tiger's birthday and he always calls me Mommy Tiger. So we're Baby Tiger, Mommy Tiger, and Chris is Spoonie. So, he's 17 today He's the world's sweetest boy. And I'm really looking forward to when he gets home. We're working today. He's at his grandma's right now. And then he's coming home in a little while. And then, he's never been much of a trick-or-treater or anything, but he does like to take pictures. So y'all hope that it stops raining, because the one thing he wanted was to walk around on his birthday at dusk and take Halloween pictures and capture the spirit of Halloween. And it is pouring stinking rain here. So Chris said one of the nice things about that they went to Minnesota last year is they bought all kinds of rain and snow gear. And he said, even if it's raining, I'll take him out and we will wear our Minnesota gear while we do it. So, all right, guys, y'all have a good one, and I'll see you. Actually, I won't see you guys until, let's see, let me tell you what this call's good. Tomorrow is a weekend motivator, so you'll get that uploaded. 6 day, my 6 day girls, we have a Q&A on Saturday. Kathy will be doing the weekly planning and office hours on Sunday, because I am flying to go work on some wargaming of the 6 day. And then I'll be back on Wednesday. That's when, the Handling the Holidays course is your assignment for Monday night. And then I'll be back Wednesday for the public live, and we'll be rocking and rolling. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.